wonderful Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for life, true life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, thank you for the joy, the peace. Thank you, Lord, for what we have that thou have given us, Lord. And even as we walk through this world, passing by only, Lord, because this is not our home. We're all on a pilgrimage to higher ground, to higher place, to the region beyond, to the realm beyond the blue, to where our Lord Jesus Christ waits for us, that we could see Him face to face. But now we see Him. We see Jesus, Father. We see only begotten Son, because thou hast given us His Spirit. And a given life in our hearts and our spirit, O Lord, quicken us to be children of the living God. And we praise you, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you put us on the rock to stay. We thank you for that precious word now. Even as we approach it, Lord, we pray that you bless us. Open our heart, O Lord, to see. Open our eyes to understand, Father. For this is the last day of time, Father, when soon Christ will come and take the bride, take His bride who have been perfected. And that's the purpose, Lord. You call us out from tradition, from the opinion and the ideas of man, to come right back to the Word and hearken to the voice of Thy Spirit, to know and believe and understand and embrace it, O Father, wholeheartedly, and to be one with Jesus Christ, our Lord, as He was one with you, Father, that we might all be one together. Father, we come in this time now. I pray that, Lord, you bless everyone in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and may be seated. All right, we'll continue with where we left off the last 2 weeks. We're still on because there's still a lot of, you know, question, feedback, command coming in, and so we'll just see how far we can go and go along and to answer some people's questions, some people's trying to understand some of the things that they find in the Bible. Okay, now let's go to another subject now, to 2 Corinthians. We'll go to that 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. And I remember this, I'm trying to get you people to understand, look at how the word is placed. Okay? And as you all know, if you have read the book Really Go, Interpreting Sacred Scripture, you will know how I put it to those different kind of, different traditional doctrine that people have. And how that the Bible show that their opinion and their interpretation are very wrong. So don't just grab a word, grab a verse, a phrase, a clause in the Bible, and take it out of context and give it an interpretation. Over the years that I came on studying the word, and as usual when the Lord started to open up my mind, I began to understand a lot of things. And I really treasure the word of God because you know, when you are taught traditional doctrine, traditional teaching over the years, and you are so ingrained in it, and then when you were given some simple truth regarding one of those doctrines, and your eyes are open, you should move forward and embrace that truth, or else God cannot show you further than that. You see, like I told you about a young man who went to one of our public meetings years ago, took the tracts, water baptism in Jesus, and come here and say, yeah, that is true. I said, and I asked him, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, I'm going to ask my pastor. And Hoya said, you got a pastor, and then you got back to me. And he got back to me in a few days, and he told me, my pastor said, whichever way baptized is all right. You see how it is? Once you have something, and you do not want to keep it and embrace it, what do you think will happen to it? Huh? The devil will come and take it away. And that which you have, that is taken away, you are finished. But if you embrace what is given to you and you know it is truth, more will be added to you. That's a simple rule in the Word of God. That's true, isn't it? Right? More you have, more is required for you. More you have, more is added also to you. Because you enjoy it, and God enjoy your fellowship with Him in the Word. You brush it aside, you're not going to get it. And even though if you reject it and don't embrace it, more errors will come into your life. You know it. It will come into your life. And that's what I know many of them out there. They will twist and turn, they will twist and turn. And then they will lie. And how I hate those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure to the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So now the question that was asked, what is this thorn in the flesh? Well, you know something about it. When I was in the denomination, nobody knew what the thorn in the flesh was. Everybody's guessing. It was some kind of sickness. Or some enemy that come against Paul. And until now, you can go and Google on the internet and find out what is the thorn in the flesh and see what people reply. The forum talk, Certain Christian website. If you are fortunate enough, you might get one of many, many that would sort of hint that it was an eye problem in Paul. You know, when I first read what Brother Abraham said, he was first saying this and then one of the message, he said that he believed it was the pain in Paul's eye. And the moment I read that, I said, that would make a whole lot of sense. On one website, I happened to come across, this man was saying it was something to do with Paul's eyes. It was maybe his cataract. Now, let's look what the Bible said to understand how we arrived at, I believe, it was the thorn in the flesh was the pain that comes against Paul's eye. And any time when he was kind of proud, you know, Paul said, I have so many revelations. And I tell you that, it's overwhelming, you know. Yeah. And even when I was in my home and I studied, when the Lord showed me something, I got up and I danced, man. Yeah. I mean, it's overwhelming to see, wow, now you can see the picture, the whole picture of it. I rejoiced when I saw the picture of the mark of Cain, what God did to him, what God put on him. How the giant came over the flood. Through who? Those out there can say that was because he had giantism blood in him. And Cain was the father of the giant. That's a lie. Cain was not the father of the giants. And you can see the lead apostle in Nigeria said, so, you're trying to prove that? And that's why I wrote the book, really go after all his confusion he created out in Nigeria. So be able to see something and embrace it and move on. God will open up more and more for you. And it's beautiful because God hid treasures from the eyes of the prudent. Alright. So the first of all, let us read again. Lest I should be exalted above measure to the abundance of revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. Right. So, of course, at the time, you can see that Paul was kind of a little bit proud. And that's why I said that when I read through all the 13 books of Paul, you can see that he was kind of arrogant. Right? I mean, the way you look at it, yeah, kind of arrogant, man. He was an arrogant man. And that's why he said, if there's any of you, when you speak to those in Corinthians and others places, and the book was read, right? He wrote the epistle, it was read by all men, different churches. So take heed to those things that I speak unto you. They are from God. If there be any of your prophets and, you know, servant of God, whatever, you take heed to them when I spoke. Because they are from God. He was so sure that what he received was from God that he didn't say that. Now, I don't think there's any man in Paul's day could say that. Neither could anybody in this generation could say that. Paul was specially used of God. And because of what he was in his previous life, that the Lord's grace was given to him. Right? Look what he says next here. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. What? Messenger of Satan? And that's why some people have been prepared, well, the devil sends his messenger, you know, a false prophet, the Pharisees and the Sadducees to irritate Paul. But the word buffet, you know what the word buffet means? It means to chastise, to punish, to torment. Kind of strange word. To buffet me. Why is it torment? Why was it the word buffet also translated torment, punish? Why am I punished? You know, when God punishes you, it's to keep you in the way. You got it? So sometimes they say, Lord, what is this happened to me? Why did that thing happen to me? When good thing comes to you, you're happy. And you never even want to thank God enough. But the little thing comes to you, what is thing happened to me? What did that thing happen to me? Right? Now, I talk to the Lord and say, Lord, why do I have this trouble in my hands? All this breaks up my all interactions into painful itch, pimples and breaks up, and my skin are so raw. And every time I shower, I try to wash my face and squeeze dry the face towel. I couldn't even squeeze it because it's so hot, it hurts, it's painful. And I have no more fingerprint. So when I want to cross the border, get out, I had a problem. I have to go to the office and get everything adjusted again. It's a problem. I tell you, went off again, but then last 2 weeks ago, it started coming back again. Huh? What is that happened to me, Lord? Sure, we are to keep me in the way. I don't know what it was. That's why I have to examine myself. Keep me in the way. Well, why do I look at myself, examine myself in my walk with Him? Right? Maybe, I don't know, for these few years, that's why I wasn't even going overseas. Because there's certain things. And that's why I told Brother Nice, Brother Pierre, Brother all this, Brother. That's the reason why maybe I could not travel, is because Arab countries for Arab people to both preach. Africa is for African people to go preach. India for Indian. Well, that's maybe how the Lord will work. I believe Mario Sorullo, years ago, they would try to influence churches, people who want work for God. He said, God told him, build me a national army. That means Indian for India, Indian for India, African for Africa. Within the local, there's national people. And I think that is good. And I often told years ago when I was there back in the 80s, 90s, when I traveled to African people, don't think that God cannot raise apostles or prophets from among you. That you have so much, that you are now so much dependent upon those from America, Europe, Canada. You cannot believe that God can raise up a true man of God from your own nation. I speak there in India, I also there in the Philippines. God could. But because are you going to believe it? And then he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. That's right. You need to pray. Now let's go to the book of Job. Chapter 1 to 2. And I think that you know what the book of Job. Well, we don't have to read it. But you know, the Bible said there was a man. In such a land who eschew evil, who love God and so on and so forth. A man who is righteous. And we know what the story says, that the devil came out and talked to God and said, well, you know, because God told us, what do you think about my servant Job? And the devil said, well, you know, because you bless him, you put a hedge around him, this and that, of course, he bless you, you worship you, take it away, see what happened. I said, okay, you can try him, but you cannot touch his life. So, the devil was very happy. For you know, the devil may be telling God about you. Huh? Let me take away the hedge. Let me put something on him and see whether he curses you. Poor Job. What happened? His children's gone. Everything's property is gone. Him, I mean, he's a multimillionaire, you know. But he doesn't love his money, he loves God. So much of when this thing was stripped away from him, he never even cursed God. And the devil put sword on his body and all over. He can't even lie down, he can't even sit without getting hurt. You know what a carbuncle is? You know what a boy is? Huh. He's not getting small one, he's a big one. And when you have the carbuncle and boy that is big, they are feeling it pass. And it hurts. And try to sit down. You can't. So you have to sit on ashes. And his wife was so upset with him because that's all that he had in life. What did he just curse God and die? And you know Job's reply, right? Huh, you foolish woman. If I were to die, and if my skin worm that eat into me, I will rest up and stand before God. But he got a revelation, you see. Well, in a way, what you got him? Why did God want to test him like that? Because God wanted proof that the devil wanted proof to the world that that which is mine, you can't touch. That which is mine will not deny me. You got it. That's right. And after the test was over, Job had the victory. God bless him. Many, many more fools. You understand that? So, now you can see God's intention. Watching over his own gem. You are a gem. You are a precious stone. Fit for the master's crown. Remember that. And he's watching over it. Alright? And we are being refined. And Paul is being refined. As much as you got all the wonderful revelation from God, God has to keep watch over him. Because remember one thing, we are human. And human beings have very emotion. And every one of us, though we are different, our emotion may be different. Our taste bud may be different. Like you eat Mao Shan Wang durian. Some people say, nah, this one don't taste good. D24 is better. D13 is better. Things like that. Huh? And the Philippines, oh, they said, what is that they're eating? That a bagaon. I mean, some smells good, some smell terrible. And even same thing with the Thai food, the kimchi. Yeah, some taste good, some taste horrible. Korean, sorry. So I all got mixed. You see, it is everybody different taste. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Some people don't like sashimi. Some people love sashimi. Right.
You read in the paper what it says in the paper that there is this Japanese man coming to Singapore to open up a restaurant that sells Wagyu sandwich for $656. You read about it? How crazy can it get? Who's going to buy that? Oh, David Beckham. And some of those rich people will buy it. Of course, they're multi-millionaire. So what is $656 for the burger Wagyu beef? I can tell you one thing. It's just beef. Wagyu. They can call it any name. Aha. Beef. Ho ho. Beef. It's just beef. As far as those people who need food are concerned. Right? Food is food. Yes. If you were in Somalia, Sudan, when you are suffering and starving, even a simple rice grain, overcooked or undercooked, whatever you say is food. Yeah. You see. But so it depends on your emotion, your taste, and whatever you're comparing with. Let's go to the book of Acts 9, 1 to 18. Acts chapter 9. Okay, we all read this passage of scripture. What? There are several verses and words and phrases that stands out very clearly. Alright? But before we go to that, let us go and look at Numbers chapter 33, verse 55. Now we might understand the usage of words, okay, a little bit more. Numbers 33, verse 55. But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Okay? So, this is a warning that God gives the children of Israel that when you go in and take the land, if you leave any of these wicked men behind, there will be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. Okay. Joshua 23, verse 13. Joshua 23, verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, for there shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So now, whether it is thorns in your side, or pricks in your eyes, or scourges your side, it means that there is something that troubles you. You got it? But I want you to look at this word. Thorns in your eyes. Thorns in your eye. There is a play of words here. Now, the children of Israel did not drive out those wicked Canaanites and all those whom God said to destroy. So they will allow some of them to be left behind. So as your passes by, these people grew. And they become a problem to them. So every time they look at them, man, the thorns in their eyes. Now, we take the extremist Islamic group. Extremist Islam. Wherever is in Syria, wherever. They were propagating that if you, you know, die after death, you got 72 virgins. And they propagate this, and young people go and bomb themselves and kill every innocent people, and they think they're going to heaven and have all these visions. Right? They were told to hate certain religious people. Right over in India, the same. The Hindu. They're not a Christian. As the enemy. And when you look at somebody you don't like, that is why you got these pricks in your eye. You're not playing with words. You understand what I'm saying? Man, I look at them. Man, my neighbor is torn in my eye. You know, I told you about my neighbor just next door to me who had to walk past my door.
Years ago, you know, he had two friends that came in the night, in the evening, around I think about 8 o'clock, and I was in my room. My window was open, and this two friends of his were smoking, and the wind was blowing into it, my room. So I closed it. I went out there. I said to him, to the two men, but he wasn't smoking. I said, "Could you refrain from smoking because the wind is blowing into it?" And my neighbor was standing there, you know, in the Chinese way, in a way, kind of a sarcastic, and that make me an enemy. All of a sudden, "Really, the fool going to do your rumor?" I mean, Chinese speech, huh? He said, "Yes." From that time on, he never spoke to me. I look at him and call him, never hear about me. He will walk past my door, hole in his slipper, and he walk click plop, got a hard sound. But this time I happened to meet him downstairs, going to an elevator, just dreaming. Whether he, you know, respond back, does not matter. If I see him with his child, his son coming in, I'll talk to the son. You know, I agree with his wife, who's a Vietnamese. Lo and behold, just last week, he was waiting for the elevator to go up, and I happened to come in. And I look at him, I call him. I say, "Yeah," and he started to respond. Some people are just like that. Maybe I'm a prick in his eye, because he doesn't like it. This is a problem. And so this is a player word right here. Remember how the word is used. Scourge means pain in your side. So he was torn in Paul's side. So now, we read just what we read in book of Acts. Go back. Just look at it carefully. How we can prove what was wrong with Paul's eye. Alright, now, in verse 18 of Acts 9. "And instantly it was as if scales fell away from his eyes." Right? Is that it? Now, to say that it was cataract, can be. Of course, there are few, I don't know, when I went to India, and you know, there's always, when the taxi we were in, come to a stop at the junction, there were a lot of beggars coming, huh? You know, and I look at some of them, their eyes are, kind of whitish. There's no cataract necessarily. They are scared, they are the corny, they got burned. Because they were sun worshippers. They were stare at the sun. Now you can't stare at the sun without putting your head away, right? But these people, I don't know, they stare at the sun and whatever they're trying to do until they go blind. Young people, they're sitting there going on. Now, what happened to Paul? After he was put, the Bible said the scale fell off. Scale. Not cataract. What happened? Go to the book of Acts 26, verse 13. There you can see what happened there in the recounting of Paul's word. Acts 26, 13.
Acts 26, 13. "And midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining on upon me, and then his journey with me."
Right. A light, a heavenly light, brighter than the sun. Now you think about it. Paul was internally blind by that black light. Brighter than the sun until this cornea is actually burned. You know, well, the only way to prove it is you go home. Well, don't try this at home. But go and try it if you want to. Take a sauce, take a pan, put it on a hot stove. When you know that it's hot, put your palm inside, and see what happened. And lift it up. What happened? You get a burn. You get raw, right? After a few days, what happened to it? You get become a scale, right? You become a scale. And that's actually what happened to Paul's eye. It was instantly scourged, seared with a hot iron like that. And that's why the Bible said the scale fall off, actually keep it on. Only God could do that. Because if your cornea is damaged, there's no way. If your cornea is burned out by whatever, it's no way. Huh? unless it is being controlled. But some people go for LASIK. You know, they use this laser pulse here. See? And so whenever Paul gets a bit proud and puffed up, that pain comes. Yes. Now, you ever have something flew into your eye? And how painful and how sharp pain, right? Yeah? It's really painful. Because the cornea is very sensitive. And so whenever Paul gets into play, that will come. To remind him, be humble. It's not, like some would say, the devil sent the Pharisees and the Sadducees to irritate Paul. Or Paul has some kind of physical problem. But why did the Bible use the word messenger of Satan? What did the Bible use the word, the messenger of Satan? It's a phrase that anytime, anything that is allowed by God in our life, okay, is a tribute to Satan. Do you think that Job knew that it was Satan that was having a confrontation with God over him? He doesn't. If God allows it, the rain fall upon the just and unjust. If I should have this problem, I have this problem. Yeah. Satan put it on me, you can say that. Because God knows, God allows it. You understand that? Just as God said, I create both good and evil. Amen. Alright, let's go to the next one then. This is about the issue of spiritual gifts. The question came in as, the spiritual gifts are all gone, finished, ceased? Are there apostles and prophets anymore? Because, you know, there are many preachers that came into the truth and are learning, and some of them are quite kind of confused over the real truth. Because denomination will tell you, not the Pentecostal, not the charismatic, but those Protestants like Philip, by the Presbyterian, the Baptist, the Methodist, Anglican, they say there's no more gifts in operation. No more apostles, no more prophets. All the gifts cease. Now, you know the 12th spiritual gift, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to read the whole passage, but if you look at verse 4, there are diversity of gifts by the same Spirit, differences of administration by the same Lord, and there are diversity of operation, but it is the same God which works on all things. 7. Manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So he's given by the Spirit as he will, what he wants to give. For to one is given the Spirit, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another, word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of Spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these workers, that one and the self same Spirit divided to every man, severally as he will. So there are no spiritual gifts here. It depends on how the Holy Spirit will give and distribute it. Alright, now, if we go right down to verse 14, the Bible said the body is one, it's not one member, it's not member, but many. So gifts are distributed to the members of the body of Christ. Now, just like your body. Now, you know that everything in your body, every digit and every organs, they all serve a function. No matter how big or how small, do you know that? What do you think that you have this eyebrow? There are people who grow up their eyebrow, huh? They don't look like one without eyebrow. What do you think the eyebrow is for? Think about it. Some people don't really understand. It is why it's to drain away your sweat from the forehead down. You know. And what do you have the eyelashes for? Some people, they say, my eyes are too small, I'll make it longer.
What are highlights for? Why? What do you think it is for? The first of all is to see the eyes. You cut away your eyes and see what happened. You don't have a shake from the eye, from the sun. Okay? As well as it is to filter all the dust that might come in. What do you think your nose have hair, right? Correct. Some of them have so much hair that it all sticks up. We all know that. What do you think your nose has for? It not only just filter away the dust and whatever, huh? But you also have to clean the air before it goes in. It warms the air as well. And so all this pleasure, it warms as you go inside. Now, if the people stop trimming off the nose hair, until there's no nose hair inside, I don't have a problem. A small little inside that flows in will go right in. It will not be trapped by the nose hair. So we all have a purpose in it. And what do you think this ear loop here? You know ear had this loop? Huh? What do you think that is? That's the channel of the sound. Just imagine there are people who have accident with their ear cut off. It's very hard for them to hear the direction of the sound. That's why some people have big ears, so they can poke. You know, that's what a parabola, radar, all this is, to get it, you know. Yeah, what do you say? You know, and if you can't hear properly, in those days they don't have ear pieces. Sister Lucy, you have to use a ear horn. You know those ear horns? It's like a horn, so the channel the noise in. So our body, even the little digit, the pinky. And you know what you use it for, right? You know, I'm going to tell you what you use it for. So every little finger has a purpose, everything. Your toes, why they are five? Why did not God just make, instead of one five toes, just make a flat foot without toes? That is the problem. You know? So the Bible says we are beautifully and wonderfully made, and that is so true. Okay? Verse 28, now in verse 28 to 30, it says here, and God has set some in the church. Firstly, apostles, secondly, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? The answer is simply we know. Not yes, but no. When you ask a question, Jaffa, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Cannot be all, definitely. Because God divides as He will. So the answer is no. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is no. So do all speak with tongues? No. But a Pentecostal will tell you, no, this is a gift where you speak in tongues, but when you talk about Holy Ghost baptism, the which you must speak in tongues, in order to have Holy Ghost, this is a one-time experience, they tell you that. But now the Bible never teaches that. The Bible never said that the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. No. The evidence of the Holy Ghost, you know what it is. It's to believe the word and follow truth. And you find it in the book of Acts. Huh? Alright? What? Those that were baptized. And the Bible said this, follow the teaching of the apostle. They examine themselves regularly. You know, and so on and so forth. That's right. Okay. Alright, now. In that, with this kind of spiritual gift, we have the ascension gift, which is in Ephesians chapter 4. You know what the ascension gift is, right? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. So we have the ascension gift, we have the spiritual gift. 12 spiritual gifts, 5 ascension gifts. Got it? And besides that gift, there are the administrations and other things. So three different groups altogether. Every one of us have a place in the Word of God, or in the place in the Church of God. And so we don't need to remember that. Now go back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, now we go back to chapter 30. So why did the denomination, why do the denomination, there is no more gift? The gift ceases, everything is over. No more speaking tongues, no more prophecy, no more apostle, no more prophet. How do they get that? Why do they get that? Why do they teach that? And yet the evidence in the 20th century, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, the evidence was there that the tongues were genuine. Prophecy came to pass. Healing took place. Miracles. What do you have to say about it? They won't talk about it, I guess. When you be on a bus, put it in church, they'll tell you there's no more apostle and prophet. There's no more this, no more speaking in tongues. They get it here in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. We're not going to read from verse 1. We read verse 8. From verse 8. Look at it carefully. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether the tongue, they shall cease. 1 Corinthians 13. Alright? Verse 8. Charity never fails. Whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, I want you to... You know, this is a passage. But the Presbyterian, Baptists, and all these others, they ignore that and they pick what they want out of this passage. I want you to look at it. Huh? Look at this verse 8. It says, whether there be tongues, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Get it? Okay. Just remember that. Then let's continue. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. Now that's what Paul says. For we only know in part. Paul doesn't know everything. Oh, there are people in the entire message. Oh, Paul knows everything. Brother knows everything. And that's a very dangerous thing. They are just regurgitating something they do not know, something that's propagated by some American, some Canadian, because they believe Abraham was the absolute, lift him up, and they propagate around the world. And that's why religion is very dangerous. You know that? That's why a lot of people don't want to believe in religion. So religion is a very dangerous thing. Do you have religion? I don't have it. I have salvation. I have experience with God. I don't have a religion. You can call it a religion, that's okay. But it's the good old time religion back all the way from the very beginning. Now, verse 10. This is what you pick up. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through the glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I have known. And now abide the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Oh, see all the gift will vanish away, they will cease away when the perfect is come. And all that remains is faith, hope, and charity. And the most important of all gift is charity. Now, they talk like this. What is the perfect is come? They take this verse, this first part of verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, you can Google, you can go and look into every of these denominations teaching. Majority will tell you, when the perfect is come, when the perfect is come, when the perfect is come, this is the perfect. That is to say, when the Bible is complete, then all healing, speaking tongues, cease. Now watch, go back to verse 8. If tongues shall cease, right? He said tongues shall cease, right? Got it? They shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, I have knowledge, did it vanish away? I mean, if he said tongues cease, it means knowledge shall cease. That means we cannot know more anymore about the Word of God. Is it not true? You want to interpret like this? Let's look at this carefully. Just what he says here. Charities never fail. Whether it be prophecy, they fail. Whether it be tongue, they cease. And knowledge, there be knowledge, knowledge also vanish away. What? Is that what he says? Is that what he says? That when this is perfect, they're referring to the whole Bible volume of 66 books being perfect. We don't need any more. Everything is complete here. We don't need an apostle, we don't need a prophet. But they need pastor, they need evangelist, and they need teachers. How do they interpret this? Because why? They don't want any apostle. They want to keep their own traditional doctrines. That's why, you know, they don't want people to come and stir their nest. Now, does that make sense what they say? Paul is saying this, when I'm a child, I speak as a child, of course. I know in part, that's all. But when the perfect is come, what is it referring to, the perfect? The perfect is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, He is the only one that is perfect. Now when Jesus Christ was arrested and trialed, right? Then He was brought in the morning, He was brought before the people. He presented Jesus Christ to the crowd. What did He say about this man? What did He say? What did He use? First of all, what did He say when Jesus stood right there? Behold, the man. He just used the word. Behold, the man. I find no fault in him. The man. The man. Think about it. Now we know Jesus Christ, to the Jew, Jesus was called the prophet. Right? Jesus Christ is called the Savior. There are many saviors in the world. Depending on what kind of savior you are, you save someone from drowning. Huh? Correct? And when there was a sign in Singapore, back then, from Hong Kong to Singapore, what happened? A doctor died. Very dedicated to work. He's a savior. He willingly to treat the patient, and he know that he would never live. He's going to die. He never even have a chance to hold and, you know, hug his wife one more time. No. He can't even have a chance to hug his daughter. And all he could do is for them to drive the car, pass by, and just wait for them. Soon after that, he passed away. Sorrow was a frightening thing, I tell you that. Nurses were delicate, many of them were very sick, but many of them survived. But he gave his life. He attended all the patients that helped them fight. He's a savior. Right? You can call Lee Kuan Yew a savior too. But he took us out of a situation where we are a country without resources. Yes. Firemen, you know, whatever you have, a rescuer, peace figure, many of them give their life too to try to save and help people. Now you know about the Entebbe raid, you know, how that the Jew made hostage and brought to Entebbe. And the Israeli soldiers went in, and who died? Benjamin Netanyahu's brother died. And on Netflix there was this movie about the Red Sea diving resort. Ethiopian Jews were being ferried out, rescued, go to Israel. Many of them gave their lives for that too. Many soldiers were even shot and died. People are willing to serve. They are called Savior. Jesus Christ was called the Savior, not a Savior. He was the prophet, not a prophet. He was the shepherd of shepherds. He was the apostle of our faith. Right. And He is the one we hearken to, for He is the Word made flesh. Now what the Branham might say, the prophet, referring to Brother Branham. The prophet said. High time you need to understand. He was a prophet, he was no bigger than Christ. But to put him on equal pedestal. And they do not know what is going to happen to them. Let me say this. Don't say that you're born again with the Holy Spirit, that you're going to rapture. Let me tell you something very clearly. If God meant what He said, say what He meant. If you take one word out of His book, you add one word into His word. What did the Bible say, Lord? What does the Bible say in the book of Revelation? He will take your name out of the book of life. Or He will apply to you. I'm standing here preaching you. I'm standing here teaching you. And I'll be standing before the Lord to give an account for what I say. So do you want me to lift up a man or lift up some traditional doctrine? We're going to look at the Bible and look at it very, very carefully. Do you understand what I'm saying? How important it is. And so when I look at the Christian out there in the denomination, they go to church and all this, well, at least they know the gospel. But other than that, what is that? Is going to church a ritual? Is the Bible just a book? Do they study it? How many percent of the people who are caught in such prison study the Bible? Well, don't just study the Bible. How many percentage of the people read the Bible? Lots less talking about studying it. And this is a book of life. I don't know. Are you sick and tired of reading the Bible? Sick and tired of studying the Bible? Because it's a religious thing, it's a historical thing, it's a prophetic thing. No, I'm not talking about that. You can talk about history, you can talk about prophecy, but I'm talking about your experience, your walk with the Lord. How real is He to you? How real? So how important it is to meditate. You know? You understand? Alright? So, that which is perfect is coming, he's talking about the perfect man. He's all the sum of total perfection. The fullness of God dwelling in him. When he comes, then there's no more need for preaching. Prophecy, preaching, cease. Huh? You don't need to study anymore for knowledge. Cease. For when he comes, you'll know as you are known, you'll know. There's no need for miracles anymore. When you come, your body is changed. You are with him. But now, it is all done in part. This is not the perfect one. That is called the inspired scripture. Everything that we need to know is here for our life. Right? But there are things that we yet to know when we go on the other side. This book is for this side. Now, when you go to heaven, you're not going to bring a Bible with you. Are you? When you die, now you got $1 million in the bank. You got $1 million in the bank. When you die, are you going to collect that with you? Go to the bank, say, I'm dying, can I have $1 million? Now what are you going to do with a million? Put it in the coffin and burn with it. And bury with it? I mean. No? All that I have, I look at my, in my office, I look at my cupboards of books. I mean, I still enjoy some of the books. I'm going to keep them. Some of them I'm taking away. I'm giving away. But, so, well, this book, I mean, I enjoy it. I mean, I enjoy it, yes. But I'm going to take the heaven and reread them. No. When you go over the side, this book is no longer needed. In the new heaven, new or in the millennium, this book is no longer needed. Because that which comes forth will come from out from Jerusalem, from the throne where Christ sits on. To you, to the people of the world. That's a beautiful thing of it. So now when Paul therefore said, when the perfect is come, it's not about this 66 book. And how is it that this traditional teaching said that this is the perfect one? How is it that we are until, well, I don't know what year that was, that was to say that this book 66 book was formulated to be the complete Scripture of God. That's why there are some denominations that add their apocryphal books to it, right? You know that. Huh? Some are even add the book of Enoch, the lost book, the book of Judith, and, you know, the book of Apocrypha. They want to add it because they say it's not complete. And to the moment, they have the book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, two more books.
How is it that we got this book? Only here. The volume book, the 66 book. It's God's working. Among about 100 of those scholars. Sitting through. God guided them to pick up this 66. How do you know what to look at, what credit to look at, that this book is sacred scripture? This book is not. That's a miracle. And God had down 66, and it takes our last church age in the 20th century. You know, our church began 1906 and all that, right? The last one, the seven church ages. And it was only in this age that God allowed this book to be scientifically proven to be inspired. And of all people that he used a man who was an atheist, Dr. Alvin Penny, who spoke against the Bible, who spoke against the church of Christ, and you are being nonsense because he was an atheist. But it was God's grace to show it to him. He was a man who was a Gamarian in two beautiful languages, the Hebrew, the Greek, and he was a mathematician. Wow! And he was challenged by his colleague that you should read the Bible first before you ever condemn the Christian. It proves you know justice. A professor who don't even read the Bible before you condemn the Bible and the Christian. And a man as proud as he was, I'm going to read it. I'm going to prove it. He went to buy the Bible, the Hebrew Old Testament, the Greek New Testament, and he sat down and reading a few verses of scripture. Something shook him. Because he was a mathematician. He knows the Greek and the Hebrew well. And they know that there are numbers there in all the alphabets. And when he started reading words and reading Hebrew, reading Greek, he's reading numbers. And the Lord put on his mind to let him think. And he said to himself, I see a design in the universe, in the nature of this world. There is a pattern. There is a design. If there is a God that ready make this and bring about all the design creation, if he's the one that wrote this Bible, there must be a design. There must be a pattern. So he read the first book of Genesis. Just the first few verses, he shook him. Then he said, let me go and look into the book of Matthew. Because the first part of the Old Testament, he read it, he read the genealogy, he realized that there is this pattern. And it was the number 7. And he sent him down to his knees and confessed his sin. And he could say, I was blind, but now I see. Do you understand that? It was in all God's working. And that's why the 66 for how he was picked. And in the end time, the other one has no pattern. No numerical structure. But yes, in one place. The Islamic group says our Bible, our Quran also have numerical structure. Of course they have, because the Old Testament, but here and there, that they quote it from, has pattern. Because it's from the Old Testament. But the whole volume of the Quran doesn't have it. And there are people who said, no, I can make a pattern out of it. I will penny challenge them. And he put in, I still have that, you know what you call the advertisement that he placed in, I can't remember what paper was, what paper it was now, and he put there. And he challenged anybody, because he was being challenged by his friends and colleagues. He said, if he can produce the same passage, the chronology, the generation of Jesus Christ,
the same number of words there, and you can prove all this, however you write it, and produce the numerical 7 in it, then I will say the Bible is random. Nobody could. He offered them a reward. I can't remember how many thousands of dollars back then, in the earlier 20th century. Nobody could. We have a supernatural Bible. We have an inspired Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Alright, let's continue down here. So, well, in verse 11, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child, I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Ah, I think that is very true. Are we children? I mean, we say we are children of God. Yeah, we know that we are children of God. Child, well, I'm a child of God. Okay, but, now we both, when Paul was talking about, he's talking about childish behavior, a young child would do. But now we are supposed to be Christian. We're supposed to have maturity. Brother Lee, how long have you been with us? How many years have you been with us now? 3-4 years only? Are you sure?
Since the beginning, 5-6 years.
Okay, so you've been 5-6 years. Okay. So do you still, are you still a child? Oh, to say that you do know your, no.
Teenager.
A teenager, huh? Alright. I mean, when you are first into the message, or you're first into the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are a lot of things you do not know. So you learn, right? You learn. So 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, you cannot say that 5 year, 10 year, you still do not know. And you still behave like a child. No. Spiritual maturity must grow. Huh? Paul said, when I'm a child, I speak as a child. I behave as a child, now of course. But now we don't. We are mature. We are grown up. The suppose that many of you here have been a Christian for so many years. Long time Christian, and you still behave so carnal. So it means we don't want knowledge actually. Your child will not grow if you don't teach them. Isn't that true? If you feed the child every day, 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years, or 6 years, 7 years, or young, spoon feeding him, you think he'll know how to feed himself? Remember years ago when the paper reported, news reported that those who have maids and the maids take the child to school, primary school, the maid carry the bag. Everything is carried by the man, maid. And the guy just walk. He will still remain a child. He needs to carry his own bag. Unless of course it's very heavy. Well, I had him carry his own bag. I go out with him, I mean, I pick him up from his daycare, I pick him up, go down, carry his own bag. You know. So if we don't let a child learn, you'll never grow. And so unless we learn, we will never grow. That's what Paul is trying to say. Then he said this. When I became a man, I put away childish things. That's you must do. And we as a believer, a little problem. Don't act like a child, please. In some care in the kindergarten when little kids quarrel among them, so yeah, they argue, they fight, they go and complain to mommy. Here, we are mature. We deal with it. And deal according to the word. Don't act like this and that, complain this and that. Oh, we'll never learn. For we see through a glass darkly. And then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also I am known. Yeah, we see through a glass darkly. Now, what we read the Bible, what you study and understand the Bible, we don't already see everything very clear. Okay? Something is clear. Some parts are not so clear. Okay? Paul is saying that he doesn't know everything. Paul doesn't say, I know in part, I speak in part. Okay? Paul did not say, I know everything. And that's why what Peter do not have. Now, the problem is that Peter, I told you, the apostles, the disciples, they were with Jesus, they were so much in tradition, in being glad. and they cannot go out of there. And God had to take Paul, and Paul could be able to see. You know, sometimes it is so true, because the disciple of Jesus was always in Christ when you go, right? Someone saw that, well, I know Jesus, you know, I know Jesus. And they cannot go beyond what God can give more after Jesus went. They felt lost when Jesus died. And what's going to happen to us? But God could show Paul, because Paul is willing to get away from that tradition, from all the ritual, from the law and the prophets that he was taught in that tradition. Yeah, Peter and the rest, no, they were not in the Pharisees' tradition. We know that. But all that they have, what Jesus taught them, they find it very hard to go beyond. They find it very hard to go beyond. Huh? You know what Peter did? Because the Gentiles are Gentiles. The Jew are Jew. You're not supposed to mix with the Gentile, eat with the Gentile, but he it was set in his mind, but he realized, yeah, eating a Gentile is all right. So he ate with the Gentile, but he always watching over his shoulder, looking over his shoulder. Because he don't want all some of the elders from Jerusalem to see him eating with the Gentiles. Why can't he go back to Jerusalem and teach them that? You could. And Barnabas was following Peter. Ah, they're a Gentile, let's eat with them. When Peter found out, oh, the elders are coming. Let's go. Why? That is childish behavior. If there's a point, I have to rebuke him in the face. Huh? That's why Paul got to use Paul. But Paul did not have everything. And a part of it was given to John. The last book of the Bible, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ about the future and the thing that was to come. You see, the apostle said, I know him in part, and I preach in part. Maybe his part is 70%. Huh? And John's part may be 30%. So whatever is given to you, you do it. No man knows everything. But Paul said, when the prophet is come, then shall I know, even as also I am known. I will know, and you know me, I know you. We know each other well in that time. And now by faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now they come all together and they say these are the three best gifts. Well, we have faith, hope, charity. And the best gift is charity. And that's why many people talk about love, 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 love. That's why you get into ecumenical love movement. So don't talk about doctrines. Doctrines only divide. Let us put our differences of doctrine aside and work for the gospel, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ is not just about Jesus' sake. It goes beyond that. Jesus saved you for what? That you can do whatever you want? Think. When you are called into the army, into the national city, do you think you can do whatever you want? You're called for a purpose, right? When God called us to be a member of His body, there is a purpose. Not to do whatever I want. Certainly not. So don't just say, greatest of all is love. We know greatest of all is love. Because love, we are just summing, anti-summing symbol. That's what we are. Now let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 22. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. Now, we'll see further about the gifts. Beginning from the baptism of John, Acts 1:22, alright? Beginning from the baptism of John, Until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Ah, see, there's no more apostle. Got it? This is another verse that was picked up by the traditional churches. Because Peter said, one who is to be an apostle, he must be one who is a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul was the last. But he was the last apostle. No more apostle after Paul. Because Paul saw the resurrection of Christ. Saw the resurrected Christ. Today, who? You guys are apostles. Did you see the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Uh-huh. But the question is, did Paul actually see Jesus resurrected? Did the apostle or the disciple John see Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead? No, they only saw Jesus Christ appearing to them. That's called the resurrected Christ. Not to say they see the resurrection of Christ. I have seen Christ. So what's the difference? You know Christ, right? You believe in Christ, right? But why did you believe in Christ? How is it that you believe in Christ? It's because you see Christ in the gospel. There is a witness in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, right? And it quickens you. Because you see Christ. That's what Paul said. We look in the Bible, we see in the glass darkly. And Paul said, one more place. So we see Christ no more, but we see Christ. We don't see Christ in the flesh anymore, but we see Christ. Now Paul told the disciples were the problem, because they always meet with Christ in the flesh. It's about this man. Now the same problem goes to Branhamism. Those who are so close to Brother Branham. Huh? They were so close to Brother Branham, they saw all the miracle that happened. Oh, it's so hard to get away from those things, you know. Yeah. And I know those people who were taken up with Benny Hinn from the beginning, about his fire, about his this and all that. See, I think about that. Many of them are still holding on to it. But there are some, they have moved away. They know this whole thing is nothing. So what do you see? Are you discerning as to the word? What he says? Or are you just picking verses of scripture for yourself, what the tradition will teach you, and you are so ingrained into it? And once you're ingrained into something, it is very hard for you to come out of it. Indoctrination. That's why Paul was so much indoctrinated. Huh? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. He was a Benjamin, the least of the tribes of Israel. But he dealt the bones. And he was so zealous for the Lord that he would take all the Christians and bring them to judgment. He was so sure. But once you are so ingrained in tradition, everything else is wrong. What you have is right. But you see, the problem is that Paul wasn't looking at the scripture. He was looking at his Phariseeism. You got it? You understand what I'm saying? When you are into a system, when you are into a religion, it holds you. Sometimes it's a ritual. Now, when the Jews were rescued, the people were rescued and went, and the plague took them over to Jerusalem. Or even an interview for those Jews, or when they came back from the diaspora, when they landed in Israel, what is the first thing they do? What is the first thing that the Jew will do? When they have never seen the homeland, they came to the land of Israel. Whether they touch down from the plane, or they touch down from the ship, or they get out of the car and step on the land, what's the first thing they do? They kiss the Lord. My motherland! I'm so glad to be home. Because you see, it's a tradition. It's just a religious thing that they do. It's emotional. I understand that one. That's no problem. Huh? But there are people who take the Bible and kiss it. You know that, don't you? What is the good of you kissing the word? You need to kiss Christ. You need to have a personal relationship with Him. Not kissing the cross. Paul said in the cross of Christ are glory. What was he referring to? The one at Calvary? The cross there is no longer around. In the cross of Christ are in the death of Christ are glory. In the redemptive word of Christ are glory. All that pertaining to Him being our Savior. I glory in Christ. But if you take the Bible verse like this, huh? That was Peter's opinion. Because he before, you know, they were thrown away in Jerusalem. Alright. The 120 were in the upper room. They went on there and prayed with them. The woman was there to pray. Ever so often, every time, when you go to work, sometimes he come back again, and then one day say, okay, you know what? We got to elect. We got to elect someone to replace Jesus Christ. Because they only got 11. And 11 is not a good number. Yep, the Jew have this patterns of numbers, huh? And that's why some people use the Bible and go into astrology and astronomy. We're not into that. But patterns in the Bible are for us to understand one God. Two witnesses, right? Old Testament, New Testament. And the Bible says the Bible two let a matter be established. Two witnesses minimum. Three is completeness. 2 points is line. 3 points is a plane. Completeness. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, Holy Ghost, baptism. Things like that. Right? Four corners of the earth. The four rivers. They came out of when the main river came out of Eden, the God of Eden, the spirit of the four. The horns on the altar, there are four. With the four gospels. Right? The representation is there. Five is representing of grace. The five wounds of Christ. He bore. Two on his hands, or palm, or wrist actually. Two on his feet, and one on his side. Punctured, pierced wound. Five, the essential gift ministry. The gift from the hands of Jesus Christ. Fivefold ministry. Six, man. Man was created on 6 days. And Jesus got down the cross. How many hours? You better know how many hours he died. How many? 6 hours. He represents man. He suffered for 6 hours on the cross in agony. Because he was being put down. And weak, find it hard to breathe. Seven, perfection. A number of perfect order. Do re mi fa sol la ti. Right? Music, seven. How many days a week? Seven. How many colors are there in light? In the light? Seven. See the rainbow? The same thing with life. Seven. Multiplication of seven. Division of seven. Chicken, 21 days to hatch. Some other bigger one, 28. Man, I don't remember how many months, but I don't know how many, what was supposed to be the number of days to divide. So there's always these numbers. Eight. Resurrection. New day. Resurrection, the first day of the week. Complete the old 7 days. New day, he resurrected. Nine, finality, last number in a single digit. Nine people of the Holy Spirit is given. Ten, the Ten Commandments. 11, disorganization. There's only one. Betray Christ, there's only 11. And 11 represents disorganization. 12 is a perfect organization, perfect movement.
in the program of God. So they need must have 12 tribes. Huh? 13 rebellion, sin. Apollyon, up and down, spells that. Sin spells number 13. And so on and so forth. So nothing wrong with the number. And so Peter said, well, but we must need one who has seen the resurrection of Christ and was with us all the time. Well, there are a couple of them, and they narrowed down to two. And let's cast vote. That was Peter's opinion. I want you to know that it is not God working there. One person told me in America, how dare you say that prayer again? Didn't they pray? I said, yeah, he prayed. They prayed before the cast vote. It doesn't mean that you pray, you do something, it is God's will. Are you got two girlfriends? Lord, which one do I want? But actually, you already know one that you want. Because it's beautiful. You know? But the other one, not so beautiful, but he's actually a one thing, a better wife. So which one do you want? Ini, mini, mini, mini. I'm not afraid, really, right? Ini, mini, mini, money more. Okay, I get the one. God's will. You want a job, you pray. It doesn't mean that you pray. Necessarily, that you are led by God. Sometimes you are just led by yourself because you desire it. Right? Yeah, me. I wanted to be. Well, I always joined the army. I told you that. I went to queue up, thinking, waiting for the x-ray. You know, sign right on. I prayed about it too. When I stand there, something happened that took me out of it. Because the salary was not what I would expect. What those with school certificate expected. You see, everybody get the same pay. Whether you are secondary 2, 3, or 4, or full certificate, you still get the same pay. And it was low. So I move on. I'll still be here, perhaps, you know, I'm in lovely being army. But I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I go to sound on and do whatever, then get out, and go call me. But you've got to have a plan. And that's the only time when I find myself going to pray fast, ask the Lord what you want me to do. And follow the plan of God, follow His leading. And I know He calls me. But I have to win. And He sent me into Woodbridge Hospital, a mental hospital. My goodness, that was a dark place. Really, really dark place in those days. You want to be there. And the first time I went to the first ward, it was a terrible one. Filthy, dirty, and I thought all the other ones are the same. It was the first ward. I said, how do I survive this? But I survived the first month, and then after that I was posted to another ward. Oh, it's different. It's cleaner. Huh? When I was sent, the first trip that I made, God sent me to was India. In April, down in Peshawar. How hot was it? Above 40 degrees. And I was there for the second day, my lips cracked, my nose bleed, because it was so dry. Impossible to sleep. God always threw me in. The first time in any place, God threw me in the worst situation. But I learned. Knowing that God has a reason. Okay, let us read the next verse, then we close. Acts 5:16. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Now here, they said that if you are an apostle, you should do this. You should do this. You should be able to do this. Okay. Acts 5:16. There came also the multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed, everyone. So a friend of mine said to me, you see, if you are not an apostle, you should heal every sick person that is brought to you. They use this verse. My question was to him, I said, you read that one verse. Because it is everyone, all. I can show you many other verses in scripture. When Jesus went to the temple and preached, he said, all of you should come hear him. He said, the word all. He said, is it really true that all of Israel went to the temple there and hear him? He forgot about Senetoke. Senetoke is the figure of speech, one for all and all for one is expression. Our national day 2 days ago, right, was on Friday, huh? All of Singapore went to the bottom. Or if the Pope would come to Singapore, all of Singapore went to cheer him, to say hello to him. All of Singapore. That's a figure of speech. And my next question to him, I asked him. I said, if Apostle must heal all, should be able to heal all, he said. I said, why was not Paul able to heal Timothy's problem? You answer me? Why was Paul not able to heal of Timothy's stomach ailment? Then he told him that all you have to do is take some wine, since you have this problem. Why was not Peter? And I believe that Peter prayed for Paul too, don't you think so? Pray for Paul about this eye pain. Let me say something. God doesn't heal everybody. The denomination will tell you God loves everybody, He wants to heal everybody, and He must so much so that they believe in the restoration of all things, they believe that all the sinner will be saved. They cannot, because they cannot believe that God is so awful, so judgmental, put a sinner and burn them up, or cast them into the lake of fire. And always I remind them, remember the halt. Dr. Bannon. Remember him. Don't make me angry. You don't want to see me when I'm angry. Remember that? You haven't seen God's wrath yet. You don't know how angry God is against sin. He loves the sinner, but he hates sin. And he has given people all the opportunity to come to him. But there are many that just rejected him. Right? Not just like the foolish wife of Job. There are many who speak God in the face. Like in the Holocaust in Auschwitz and many other of those camps. The sign said, written by the Jew. Even though he remained silent, he's still God. Don't you think that they cried out? In Holocaust, people are being taken to the chamber and gas and die and burn away. Even he remains silent, he's to God. Remember that. Did Jesus heal everyone? No. The Pool of Bethesda is a good example. While he went there, a lot of people are waiting for the pool to be troubled and they want to get healed. And he came to this little thicker man. So you want to be healed? I mean, say, yeah, I want to be healed, but you know, when the water is troubled by the angel, someone jumped in before I could get it. And Jesus just healed this man. He didn't heal anyone. That's why when I testify to people say, your Jesus Christ is so good. Why don't you heal every sick in the general hospital? That kind of person is a God despiser. He's the kind of person who spit God in the face. He wanted God to do everything good for everybody else without faith. Do you understand? Seeing is believing. They say, I see, I will believe. No. The Bible tells you what? You believe and you will see. Believe in who I am, Jesus of them. Believe and I will do it. Right? Alright. Closing with that, go to Ephesians quickly now. If we look at Ephesians chapter 4, all those fivefold ministries that is listed there, what does it say from verse 11 to 16? It says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Are we in the faith? Unity?
Not really yet. And the denomination, they are united already, maybe under ecumenism. If you are united already, in one unity, one faith, then everything will be open. But it is not, because the perfect has not come. Till we all come in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. How many people know about the Son of God as truly who He is, not being the second person of God? No, they don't. They're still in the Trinity in faith. And of them, and unto a perfect man, that's the word of God, bring unto a perfect man, the measure of the stature of Christ, or the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carry about with every wind of doctrine by the slight of man, cunning craftiness whereby the lying way to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Even from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto itself, unto the edifying of itself in love. This thing hasn't happened yet. It's not over. Because why? The perfect, that which is perfect, is not yet come. The perfect, when He comes, all this will be over. I'm just praying that He will come soon, because my Bible is actually in a bad shape. My English is going to be worse than before. And I don't want to use a new Bible, because I just love this old type of Bible. And now I don't need it anymore. We don't need the Bible anymore. We don't need any more preaching. We'll just be with Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that precious word. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are to us, that you have given us all that wonderful blessing in the word of Jesus Christ, Father. So, Lord, take it further, Lord, into our heart and bring it out further into our understanding. And for those overseas, Lord, that they may understand the whole world to believe in the seriousness of coming into the full stature of the perfect man that is in Christ Jesus. And to grow in thy grace, Father, in the knowledge of the Son of God. We thank you, Lord. Bless the rest of the day now, Father. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.